It's an exciting season, and it is all on and all out, 100% out for him. And I don't think it's ever been any different in his mind, but sometimes it's been a bit different, probably in some of ours or even mine. And he is calling us into something so 100% for him that it actually is quite a challenging season too. But there is a powerful grace in the Holy Spirit to change. You know, God challenges us, but the challenge is met with his ability and power. So truth is supposed to challenge us. Jesus is God, after all, not buddy-buddy. And if he's God and his word is his word, God's word, then it's going to challenge. But he's given us his Holy Spirit to meet the ability to do what he is asking of each one of us in this season. And so I'm overjoyed, but I'm also realizing how much I need him to actually see a fulfillment of what he is asking me personally and of us as a local church. And this morning, my agenda was very upset this week. The Lord changed my agenda for this morning. After all, he is Lord, and so he can do what he likes in his church, can't he? And so I'd got to what I felt to be, after prayer, something from the Lord, but I had a dream on Friday night. And if you know me by now, some of you do, I don't get many dreams. The stronger, probably, that orientated gift is Pastor Andrea's. And so for me to get a dream, I'm like... And for me, it really spoke to me. And God gave it to me to share this morning. But I also am aware that we're not just preaching about dreams. Dreams have to be backed up or verified by truth, by scripture. So I'm going to preach the word as well as share a dream, because that the word is perfect. The word of God is perfect. And, you know, dreams, not all of us, whatever we prophesy in part, we the life of the Spirit is in part. So I'm just going to share this unusual dream. It's very detailed. We'll go on. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are the God who gives dreams and visions. In the last days, you promised you'd pour out your Spirit. And this is what I believe you have given for our teaching, for our edification, and for speaking to us so that we can move forward together. But I also believe, Father, that your word is perfect with all of my heart. And I pray that your scripture, your word, will be honored in your body, that Jesus, it is the very word of God. And as your scripture is spoken, and as I preach and share, Holy Spirit, take the truth and make it known to us this morning, I pray. Lord, thank you. It is both your word and spirit that are in agreement, bringing us into the knowledge of your will for us in this moment. So be glorified, both in the speaking, but also in the way we listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in the dream, a friend contacted me, and I didn't know who that friend was. I just was aware that that person was a friend. And the friend asked me to go and see a young family who were their friends. I didn't know this young family. And it was a couple with a child that I was asked to visit. Now, the unusual thing was that this couple, this little family, didn't live locally. So I had to drive 2.5 hours to go and fulfill the request of our friend, the friend that we shared together. And apparently that they had agreed to have me visit, I think because they were persuaded by this friend. And I was told that this young family were in great trouble because they were in debt. And they were in financial need, in real trouble, and they needed God's wisdom, God's word, and God's way out to freedom. So I was aware in the dream that there was massive trouble, but I was going into the situation to bring God's word and God's way out of this trouble. And after a 2.5-hour drive, I knocked at the door and I was invited in. And what was interesting was the reception. Because this couple, when I came to the door and they opened the door, it was plainly obvious they didn't want me to be there. But they weren't overly rude, just absolutely cold. And you know, when you go and visit somebody, if they're not rude, they don't shut the door in your face, but they say, okay, oh, hi, come in. But you can pick up. And I was picking this up in the dream, that there was this frigid, cold thing going on the inside of them. And they didn't really want me there. But as I walked in, I realized that actually it was the friend that really wanted me there, but the family were like not really that open. And as I sat and talked and, you know, tried to warm them up with the weather, with conversation about the beautiful baby they had and how old are they now, are they teething yet? You know, just trying to start something with this couple who were not wanting me there or me to bring God's word. I think before I arrived, they were under conviction. And as I came in, they were absolutely closed down to anything that I had to bring from God. But I kept going, and the wife was probably the coldest of the two. And she got up and left the room. And I sat there, as you can imagine, in a stranger's house, feeling like, what am I doing here? 2.5-hour drive, they don't even want me. And so I thought, I'll have a go with the man on his own. And I get down on the floor to play with the child, because the dad's trying to not look at me. So how many of you know that? If you wanted to take the focus off yourself, let's look at the child. So we're all looking at the child, the baby. And I started to speak about how much God wanted them out of this trouble. And he said, please don't say anything. My wife's not here. You need to speak to us whilst we're together. And I picked up, actually, there was tension in the couple about their problems. And perhaps the man wanted God's will more than the woman. And so there was this disagreement-ish going on between them. But he was obviously looking for the wrong kind of peace. Peace with her, not with God. And the tension just grew until I heard the doorbell go and a large crowd of people suddenly arrived in a party atmosphere. We were still in the other room, but they went into the kitchen and there was this celebration party. Hi, how are you? It's wonderful to see you. And the man said, oh, excuse me, walked out, and the whole family of the, you know, relatives had all arrived for the child's birthday party. And they brought a cake with candles, and it was time for them to celebrate. And I'm left in this room with them in another room partying, feeling even more uncomfortable, as you can well imagine. Remember, this is a dream from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. And So I decide at that moment, I can't break into a party atmosphere. So I went to the kitchen and said, bye then. Oh, bye. See yourself out. And I left and drove the 2.5 hours home. And I woke up. And as soon as I woke up, the surprising thought for me was, I've had a dream. Which, as I say, is totally unusual. And the next thought was, well, I wonder what it means. And I've learned to ask not myself what it means. I said, Lord, what are you saying? You're speaking. What are you saying through this dream? And as I began to think about it, it was obvious that this couple, whilst they were in trouble now, they would absolutely hate where they were going to end up because it would get worse. Without God's word and a different way of life coming in. That if they continued in this way, it would be disaster. And as I asked God what this meant, he basically said, well, I'm not welcome in that home because my word and the call to change your lifestyle isn't real in this family's life, in this couple's life. And I was so aware of the heart of God for this couple because he'd gone out of his way, time, energy, desire to see this family free. And yet I was so aware that this couple did not want what God was saying they could have if they changed and did his will. And I realize that the issue that God is bringing to us as his church is so straight and so clear that it's, do you really want my will? Do you really want to do what I say so that you can come into all the blessing, all the promises, all the amazing glory that I've promised in my church and for the world, the fruit in the world? And the Lord really spoke to me that he wanted to highlight the dangers through this dream and through scripture in a minute, the dangers of being unwilling to listen to him and to make changes in our lives. Because it's so easy to just listen to the word. And it's so, so much easier to not do anything with what we are hearing. It is an issue that I believe is one of the dangers in the modern church. That we are the most well-taught church in almost any generation. I'm talking nationally. Internationally, we've got more books than any generation on what it means to be a Christian or whatever somebody's interpretation is to be a Christian, which is often reduced to diet and blessing and prosperity. We have messages, we can go online and we can Google anything. We're not actually needing much more knowledge. And I think we've actually missed the command of Jesus, who said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. And this is what we think, teaching them everything I've taught you. But we've missed out the teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We miss out the obey and the commanded because we actually think, people don't like those words in this culture. It's really naff to talk about obedience in this culture. You don't want to offend the church. You want to keep the church. And I realize that actually we have got the wrong view of obedience. And I think we are taught in some ways and falsely taught that obedience is law. That it's legalistic to obey Jesus Christ. Rather than it's actually love. The motive behind God's heart and his call for us to obey, to listen and obey, is love. And even Jesus doesn't want to just say, I love you, so obey me. He wants us to say to him, I love you, so I will obey you. It's all actually out of love, not law. And so we misinterpret obedience because we see it as a negative thing. And like that couple, really in trouble, that family, going downhill fast with all kinds of problems that will result with this lifestyle of pleasure and missing the grace that could be theirs through obedience. There's a grace that we miss when we don't do what Jesus says. They stayed locked into a whole dynamic of destruction rather than coming into every good thing that Jesus has planned for their lives. Jesus wants them free, and his word and obedience to his word can set them free. See, Jesus didn't want to give them money, he wanted to give them his word. Because there's something more valuable than money, and that is obedience. Because if we do his word, we will live in a lifestyle of freedom and abundance. Hello? Hello? I'm not into these lines where people come forward to be released from debt. Bosh! And then they go and spend all that they've got on the wrong thing. They still haven't changed. They'll just go back into debt. Jesus is into changing us so that we live constantly in the freedom and the abundant life that he came to bring us. Are we convinced this morning? If not, I can see that God is speaking to us through this dream, and he is speaking to us as a church through Haggai, saying, guys, stop building your own house. Come and build the house of the Lord together. Come and play your part in the body of Christ and the great awakening that is happening so that the world will see Jesus Christ. Come and lay down your life so that others will live. And that this call is going out. And I must say, when I had the dream, I said, really, Lord? Again? You want to say the same message again, but in a very different way? He said, yes, because I'm not willing that any one of those listening to this message this morning stays out of my will. I've come again. I'm journeying again to my people this morning to say, come. Come on, come with me in what I am saying and what I am doing. Don't live in your own way. Come and follow me in my way and my call for you together as my people. I want to contrast this, apart from highlighting the problems of disobedience that were real and obvious in that family, and the cold-heartedness, because that's what happens when you disobey. You get so cold. You don't want to hear the word that corrects. You don't really realize the word that corrects is a word of love. It's a word of love that says, come on, turn from your sin. Turn from what the secretness of hidden things that is even shameful to speak of. Turn away from that sin and turn to me, Jesus says, so you will live. We're not just highlighting that this morning. I want to highlight just one example from the ministry of Jesus. When he went to the wedding in Canaan, they'd run out of wine, a bit like this couple run out, but still spending. And they'd run out of wine at this wedding, and Jesus, you know, Mary says to him, basically tries to encourage him to do a miracle. And then she says to the servants, and this is what I believe is the best thing that you can hear this morning. Jesus said, no, Mary said, sorry, just Mary said about Jesus, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And we could translate that into this. Whatever he, Jesus, the Word of God. In the Bible, the Gospel of John, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So the Word of God, the Bible. Hello, anybody got a Bible? Whatever he, Jesus, tells you to do, do it. And you know what was the result? They began to take these pots, pure pots set apart for purification. They had to fill them with water. Then they had to pour them out. And you know what happened? After their obedience, do you know what happened? After their obedience to the word. Can I just say that again? After they obeyed the word, the wine. It wasn't one of the cheapos you get down in some supermarket. It was, oh, who made that? That's the life of obedience. You'll be saying, how am I so blessed? Because it's a better than life. It's a more than a life, more than enough life. There is an abundance. And the guy said, you save the best till last. But you see, it's the law of obedience that Jesus is teaching in that moment. As the miracle is manifest, he is saying, what did it? People partnered together with my will. And when they did my will, they saw my glory. And this is one of the things that is written in the Gospel of John. This sign was the first sign that manifest his glory. I love that. Because are we not wanting to see a manifestation of his glory? What does that mean? Signs and wonders manifest his glory. Where does it come from? Obedience to the word, Jesus Christ. Doing whatever he tells us to do. And there is this amazing call from the heart of God to us. And I've got another scripture here. It's from the Old Testament, but it backs this up and it actually sums up what God is saying. If you are willing and obedient, how many of you want the second bit? You will eat the good things of the land. How many of you want that? But do you know there's a condition, if you read an if, it's because there needs to be an if. It's not certain, it's not definite, it's if. So, at the wedding in Cana, if they hadn't done what Jesus said, there would have been no wine. Hello? Some of you are still sleeping this morning. You okay with this? If they hadn't done... I always think about the consequences of not doing his will. Then we won't see the miracle. What do I want? The miracle? Right. That means I want to obey. Because I want the end result. And God is calling us. It's his heart. It's with passion. And he's going on and on about it to us as a church. Because I think there are a few still in a place where wish they would change the message. I wish there was another message. But God is saying this so that we all walk together in his will. Because there is power when we do. And there's glory to be revealed when we do. There are signs and wonders when we do. I have grown, as I've grown up in maturity in the Lord. I mean, I praise God, was raised in a home where obedience was actually taught. And that makes it much easier to follow Jesus when obedience is taught in the home. Because when I understood that when my teacher said something, I did it. I didn't question it because I wasn't allowed to question what the parents said at home. And because I didn't, I wasn't allowed. I just thought, well, they're the boss, I'll do that. And it's just come out of that. My relationship with God had a good start because I was taught as a child to obey. Oh, parents, may God give you the grace to teach your children to obey you. Hello? So that when they really come into the true relationship with Jesus Christ, they will understand that He's Lord. And He is. Actually, He deserves our obedience, doesn't He? But it's out of love, not law. When I realize that if I'm willing and obedient, I will see the things that He's promised. I will eat the blessings. I will eat all the promises. I'll experience them. Then I love the word obedient. And God is wanting to change us so that we love the word obedient. That we won't shut everything down because it's not actually for our pleasure. It doesn't really make me feel good in this. This meeting isn't right. A feel-good meeting. We used to have days where all, you know, there was times where I really felt so good. This is all about doing Jesus' will, really? I don't feel great about that. You will. Yes. If you do it. The best life is at the end of doing what God says. And I have learned that if He says turn left, I turn left. I don't stand and say why. Why should I? I do it. Because I've learned He's Lord over my mind and over my decisions and over what I do. He's not just Lord over my teaching. I actually don't think we need much more teaching. I think we need a whole lot more action. Yeah. And with a whole lot more action comes a whole lot more power. We want to see the glory, don't we? Well, let's get in action mode, church. Let's get in action. Because if we are, then we will see. If He says stand, I'll stand. If He says pray, I'll pray. He's told me in this last season what I've needed to change. He said, I want you to spend an hour in the morning, because I normally spend time in the morning like that, just in the word and prayer. But He said, I want you to give me an hour of prayer, and I would then want you to give me an hour in the word. What, 2 hours before breakfast? Yes. And I've done it. Because I've had to make, I'm not here to obey me. See the reality of what He is saying? I'm here to put my life in order according to His will. And I can't tell you how blessed I am with that extra hour of prayer. I mean, we pray throughout the day. It's part of our ministry, it's prayer and the word. It's what we do, but this is personal. And doing this is absolutely changing me. Wowzers. Not just hearing the word. What am I to do with your word then, Lord? Hello, anybody out there? Because I know there are one and two. I know there are, because God wouldn't have given me this dream. It's not going to be so supernatural this morning that it actually is a waste. I believe it's going to accomplish something, that dream. I heard last Sunday wonderful testimonies, and God is working obedience in many people. I heard a young person, she told me, she heard God when she was praying in her bedroom to tidy her room. And what I loved about it, she said, well, why, Lord, are you asking me to tidy my room? And the Lord says, because you're to look after what I've given you. Just obedience. Another person whose finances are in a mess heard the Lord and said, the Lord said to them, well, if you want me to sort your finances, start tithing. Well, that was met with joy. Got believers out here, have we? Tithing 10%. It means 10% of all your income, all of it. Gifts, surprises, all of it. And she was like, well, I've heard it in your word, but now God's saying, I'm praying about my money. Why don't we have enough? Well, because you're not obeying. That's where it gets down to. It gets right down to this obedient issue. You love me. I know you love me. You're looking like you love me. Such a smile on your face. It's fantastic. I'm not going to get a cold reception bringing the word of God here. I know. Because I'm bringing God's word here. You're not going to go cold on me. Are you? No. Right answer. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Now, this is the word that God gave me together to go with the dream. You ready? Strap yourselves in, guys. Open up your heart. It's heart surgery time. Are you ready? It's like, here we go, Lord. Here's my heart. All things are bare before you anyway. But I just need to be aware that I'm currently on the operating table of the Word and Spirit. Verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem. You're not called Jerusalem, by the way. He's speaking to his people, God's people. Called God's people. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, what words. Jesus has just spoken what I would call the strongest possible words to religion, to the religious people. I mean, he used words like, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed walls, you tombs. I mean, there was no holding back from the word that Jesus was bringing to this religious people. And religion is so easy to get into even today, that we actually go through the motions without actually the life and our heart involved. Just duty. Not really a real will to serve the Lord. And we see this amazing image, and it is an image of how much God loves people. Even after he has spoken so negatively, he's still going like this to this religious people. How I have longed, how I so want to gather you under my wing, but you were not willing. And in this wonderful image, we actually see God is describing himself like a mother hen. Isn't that incredible? A mother hen. And a mother hen with her chicks. Chicks under her wing. If you've ever seen a mother hen sort of bring herself over her little family, you can't see the chicks. You can only see the hen. Can't you? And in this place, these chicks are protected. They're warm. They're comfortable. In this place, they're hidden. And Jesus is looking out to all the people out there saying, I came, I sent my prophets, I brought my word to you, but you were not willing. You weren't willing to come to me. You weren't willing to make the changes in your lives so that you could come and be reconciled to me and come under my will for your life, my protection, my love, my mercy. And I think this is so the issue of all issues when Jesus said, you were not willing. Because he's actually saying, I am willing. This is not God saying, I'm not willing. He's saying, I am willing. My arms are wide open for you to come into all that I've got for you today. I am willing to save you. I'm willing to save your marriage. I'm willing to save your relational issues. I'm willing to save you and heal you. I'm willing. But you were not willing. So in other words, can I just say this and listen really carefully? Man's will, independent will, not God's, is leading them to destruction. Their own will is leading them away from God. Can you see that? It's not God's will, it's a person's will that's the issue. Because God is willing, it's like the leper. The leper came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. The Lord said, I am willing. And we've sung about the cross this morning. We've taken communion. And that's all I have totally shown, that I am willing. But it's down to your will. Because I'm willing. Can you see this? I am willing for this church to have the glory of God in it that will surpass anything that you have ever seen. If you are willing. Amen. Hello, anybody out there? I am willing if you're willing. Can you see the issue is the will? That your latter days, come on, church, your latter days will be far more glorious than your former. Because his glory will be in the house, in the temple, in the church of Jesus Christ. And this glory is for the nations. It's for the people who are not yet saved. Because he is looking at Taunton. Hey, I long for you. He's not satisfied with us chicks. He wants everyone. God is not willing that any man perish, but all come to a knowledge of truth, to repentance. And it's like God's people were in name only. They were not doers of the will of God. God sent them prophets. He sent them. Now, a prophet is someone who is a message from God, God's word. And I can't tell you how the Lord has challenged me to continue and us to continue to bring the message. And in those days, they stoned them. In these days, it's not stoning. Praise God. But it is stonewalling and leaving a church because you don't like it. Anybody? Hello, anybody? It's just, I'm shifting on. And the message of obedience may not be the most attractive, but it is the most blessed. God will bless obedience in your life in ways you have, even generations will be blessed because you obey. Just look at Abraham. Every generation that followed was blessed because he obeyed the Lord. Amazing. It's God's will to save us from traps, futility, debt, marriage breakdown, family issues, selfishness, from sin, from just living for ourselves and not living in purpose. God's will for us to be saved from a powerless Christian life. He's willing. Am I? Is the question. Am I willing to make changes? Can I say changes? Lasting decisions that mean it's not the same old way of life in this time. It's a new way of living. And those servants, I tell you, if I'd seen that wine flowing at that wedding, I'd have followed Jesus like this. What are you going to say next, Lord? That was good. I mean, wake up, it's so good. Oh, just stay close. What was that, Lord? Yeah, sure. Oh, you want me to play guitar? Okay, fine. Oh, you want me to serve on the door team? Oh, no problem. There's going to be wine. There's going to be wine. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, but you want me to put up with these people? Oh, fine. Love them? Really? Okay. Lay down my life for them? Sure. Brilliant. What's next? What's next, Jesus? This is so good. They learned the lesson early. Some of us are still trying to learn it. Or have gone back to not listening and not doing. You are unwilling to come to me is probably the saddest words that for the lost and the dying, those who not only will live without Christ in this life, but also for eternity. They were not willing. God wills. And we cry out to God, do something. But they weren't willing. He's saying, come. Change location. Move. Come to me. Repent. And believe. They weren't willing to come out of their lives and into Christ. They weren't willing to make changes that meant, hey, where you are, I'm going to be. Your house will be left desolate. Oh, what words. It can make you weep to think that when Jesus returns, it's going to be a fearful, awesome day for those who were not willing. And desolate means miserable, comfortless, and ruined. And I don't want a desolate house. Hello? By just not being willing to obey Jesus. It is my sole goal. I don't mind if I don't feel another thing. Have an angel visit. I don't mind not having a tingle, falling over when I'm prayed for. I don't mind even not having awesome times in praise and worship. As long as he gets an awesome time, I'm happy. I really don't mind. He's given me everything anyway. He showed me his love. It's all he has to do. The cross has happened. What else is there? I'm like, I don't mind, Lord. What you've done for me, I'll do it all for you. It's out of love, isn't it? And devotion. Just let's look at the chicks. Chicks for Jesus. And Jesus is speaking about chicks. Male and female, neither male nor female in the spirit. Let's keep it there. And he's speaking about his people, isn't he? I love it that it's plural. Because the chicks, how he wants to gather, he gathers his people together. He gathers his people together. He gathers his people together. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. You're not a chick. You're a people. Can you see that? We are a people. We are the body of Christ. We're not isolated. We're together. Hello. Anybody out there? He gathers his church. God is building his family, his own family. And these chicks are hidden. And we are hidden in Christ, in God. God doesn't see me, he sees Jesus. All my failures, my sin, I'm in Christ. And he's in me. Hidden in Christ, in God. Oh, brilliant. Great news. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? Well, if I've got to get under, I'll do it with the Bible, a symbol of the Lord. It means I've got to move to come unto obedience with him, to be under. Yeah? To do what he says. If I would do what I think or want, he's there and I move away like a little chick in danger. I'm a little chick in danger currently because I'm not under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to get under that shadow as quickly as possible because this is the place. This is a place of protection. Obedience is the place of deliverance and freedom. It is the place where I thrive. It's a place of comfort when there's trouble all around. My soul finds rest in God alone. He is my fortress, my stronghold, my God. In him I will trust. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my fortress. Surely no harm will come near you. 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it will not come near you. In obedience to Jesus Christ, I'm under the shadow. I'm coming to Jesus, coming to do his will. When it rains and it's cold, like those little chicks, they can scurry under and be totally protected. When there is a bird of prey trying to find its next meal, that evil spirit that's out to destroy can't get me. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus said, Satan has no place in me? He can't touch me. Because I'm just, my desire is to do his will. I walk in obedience to the will of my Father. And I do only what he says to do. Oh, can you see a world opening up in front of you that is so amazing through this little word, obey? Oh, do the word. He fights for his chicks. Anything that comes near them, he's a lot stronger than a mother hen. He's the Lord God Almighty. He provides for them. He's devoted to their well-being. Thank you, Lord. A mother hen who loves, protects, provides in this place is blessing. And in this place, we find what is not found anywhere in the world, and that is the joy of being together. We're not lonely, we're not isolated, because here we are, the chicks, the family. Hello. And you do not pick your family. God chose me and he chose you. That's it. Period. And us chicks have the joy of being under him and have learned the secret of a happy family life by chirping away the praises of Jesus and living in harmony and love all the days of our lives. See, God is really building his church. He's not building ministries, individuals. He's building his church. I want you to be convinced of that. That little family was building their house. God is saying, I'm building my church, my chicks. And it's out of love and compassion. And he is saying, don't live cold, isolated, out there doing your own thing. Come on in. You'll find life. The best wine is in this place. You know, the joy of family is, together we're stronger. If one loses a loved one or somebody loses their job, we're there. Hello? We're known. People care about us in our little groups. We have our own little groups where we really take care of each other. You know, and you know, where are you? We know, are you okay? We know what to pray. And we know that we're called to his vision for us together. See, everything about us wants, of the flesh this is, wants to be independent. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to submit to the Lord or to his family. It's like a humbling thing to say, I'm with these chicks. Wouldn't we rather if it was just one hen and one chick? Then I'd feel so, so, so special. It's all about me and Jesus. But this picture shows you it's all about Jesus and his church. This is good preaching. We are chicks for Jesus. You see, the family in the dream refused the word of God. And if I think about the early church, and I'm going to finish with this. There's the early church. If you imagine the mother hen, all the called out ones, because that's what church means, called out from the world, to come to Christ and to come under his wing together, under his headship as Lord. You see, he's Lord in this moment. You know, when you're under, you're under his lordship. You can only be saved if he's your Lord. You can't be saved just having a Savior. We call him Savior and Lord. You're only saved if you come under his lordship. Jesus actually said to some people, oh, we've seen the power, we've seen demons, we've seen people healed. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? Depart from me. I never knew you. Now, they are life-shattering words. They actually make me tremble on the inside to hear Jesus say to people who thought they were Christians, depart from me. Hello? Anybody listening? Do you not think that's scary? Does anybody agree with me? They are scary words. And don't you wish it wasn't in your Bible? And so I realized my whole goal is to actually follow him, do what he says, and to be in a place under him where we are together in his will. Not some people just carrying on in their own family life, doing their own thing, building their own houses, but the church. And the early church had this devoted life. When they got saved, they then became the called out ones, the church. They devoted themselves to the word, the teaching through the apostles, the breaking of bread, which meant communion, but it also meant fellowship. Of being together in fellowship, which you can only get as Christians. And devoted to prayer. And that church saw signs and wonders that even handkerchiefs and shadows of Peter healed the sick. Come on up. That obedient people. Under his shadow, under his will. Hello, hello, anybody? Devoted to prayer. Hello, anybody? Devoted to praying. Fellowship, always there. When the people of God are meeting, I'm there. That's being devoted to fellowship. Small groups as well as corporate. And doesn't Scripture warn us not to be in the habit of giving up meeting together? What habit is God saying? I want you to obey me and continually meet together. Don't get the habit. What's a habit? It's a pattern. 1 week on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Be devoted to being together. Hey, this is hot and strong. You're loving this, aren't you? Now, you see, some of us are under there, and obviously the Lord is speaking to some that aren't. And not all of us are perfectly under. We've all got to work out our faith and our relationship with the Lord in fear and trembling. And it is up to me to make the changes on a daily basis. But I know that the Spirit is speaking today. Do you? Do you know what his vision is? It's for his people. And he will build such a church that the gates of hell. In other words, there will be no ability for the enemy to take territory. But we will have the power to take territory off the devil. We will be the most advancing force in this region if we unite together in his will. Amen. And ultimately, it's for his glory that he will take glory and be glorified in it. So if you're a passive hearer this morning, listen up. God is speaking to you. If you think it's for somebody else, I think you probably ought to think it's for you, this message. If you think you're already there, I trust none of us do. We just say, Lord, whatever. Although I want the wine. I want to be there. What are you saying, Lord? What was that? Yep, yep, be in the house, be in the house. Yep, yep, go to the small groups, yep, yep, let's do that. Love one another? No problem. Who's here? What, you mean them? Yeah, yeah, them? Fine. Pray for them. Okay. Do them good. Okay. Speak well of all men. Okay. Praise me. Okay. Thank me. In all times. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Leave that sin now. Okay. And we will see a move of God that will change us and this generation. Isn't that what we're living for? For his glory? Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.